Hey folks, if you've been tuning in over the last couple of months, you've heard all about the Game Time app and how it can save you some serious cash on last minute tickets to sports, concerts, all types of shows. That's what I love about the Game Time app. Obviously the price discount, let's be honest here, but I like the fact that it's just very, very simple, easy to navigate, and right now, Game Time is hooking you up for the holidays with $10 credit. Here's what to do. Download the Game Time app in the Google Play or App Store. Click on the My Tickets section of the app, create an account, and then under the billing section, redeem code THEATHLETIC. Once again, that's THEATHLETIC, all one word, for $10 off your first purchase. It's free money, people. Credit is only available to the first 1,000 people who redeem the code, and it expires at the end of the year. That's December 31st, 2019. So make moves quick and score last-minute tickets. Hello everybody, welcome to another edition of Best on the Board, week 16 of the National Football League, championship week in fantasy football. I'm Chris Meaney, joined by Michael Beller of The Athletic. What's going on, Beller?
Nothing much, Meaney. I'm feeling good. It's going to be our last one of the regular season, right? Our last Best on the Board. We'll obviously come back for Friday, but we're going to take a week off in week 17, but then we'll be here for the playoffs. So, we still have plenty of Best on the Board left ahead of us in this football season.
Do you tend to stay away from the betting at this time of the year when teams are already checked out and are playing for things? You know, some players who are banged up through injuries, maybe they're not going to get the full workload, like T.Y. Hilton, for example. We'll get to the Colts in a little bit. Reading this morning, Frank Reich says the pitch count is going to be higher on T.Y. Hilton, but honestly, like, do they need to go full T.Y. Hilton with the Colts, you know, not going to make the playoffs? Do you tend to stay away from bets this time, or do you see, like, matchups to exploit?
Yeah, it's case-by-case basis. There are certain games that I would just stay away from because of situations like that, and there are certain games, and maybe Colts-Panthers is going to end up being one of them, where I see situations to exploit. But no, we get so few of these weeks a season, Meaney, that I'm not just going to throw one away because of you know, the schedule vagaries that are thrown at us at this point of the season. So no, I will still be having my active portfolio this week, next, and certainly in the playoffs.
I could say with confidence that I'm not going to put any money down on the Dolphins and Bengals game this weekend. I will tell you
that. I
can
say that too.
We will get to that in a little bit if you're just joining us over the past couple weeks, maybe because the picks have been hot fire. Beller checks in with 5-2, myself 6-1. I did get Seattle closer to kickoff with 6.5. You may have gotten burned by that, but on the show, Eric Young had joined us on Friday. It was 6. You and I talked on Wednesday, it was 6 as well. So a little week 15 audit.
Well, that's 5-1-1 then, not 6-1.
You're right. Holding me accountable. It's nice that you're here. 5-1-1. And then for yourself, 5-2. Here's where the games that you got right. Green Bay, Minnesota, New Orleans, the game that we said don't overthink. And Jacksonville, we were both on the side of that. Not only did they easily cover, they won the football game. And then Buffalo, and then the two, Miami, and then the LA Rams. Man, the Rams, I expected that to be a lot closer game than Dallas. I mean, the Cowboys showed up for once.
Yeah, I really thought, I mean, I thought the Rams were going to win. That game was, you know, no matter where you got it, it was, you know, no more than like a 1.5 point spread. I could not believe that they, I mean, if you'd have told me they were going to lose, I'd say, yeah, sure, I'm not going to be right all the time, but to just get blunt, just run out of the building. What an embarrassing effort from the Rams, and that basically ended their playoff hopes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Okay. So me, 5-1-1. The Saints as well, the Vikings, the Jags. We're on the same page there with those three teams. Had the Pats, KC, and then Cleveland. My goodness, I'm just down the road again.
You got to stop, man. You got to stop picking the Browns.
Well, I'm definitely not going to be on them this week. And then the Seattle there with the push. So my apologies off the top of the show. And again, if you're just new, you're just joining us, rate and review, subscribe, please. We will be around throughout the playoffs as well. We will have some I guess we won't be doing too many Friday shows. We're just going to have everything into one where the games are just going to be fewer games with playoffs here. But rate and review, subscribe, please. If you don't have a subscription to The Athletic, 40% off. You can get you can head on over to theathletic.com/bestontheboard. We'll get you 40% off. Lots tis the season for podcasts. We'll say that there's lots going on. You know, you're hosting and producing several. We talked a couple times about Miles Moore Madness, college basketball show. Lots going on in the baseball world right now. Winter meetings just ending, but still some guys out there signing. Derek Van Riper, you know, Saris with Rights and Barrels. If you just want to get the latest in the baseball world, you wanted some starts and sits for week 16 championship week, maybe some DFS in there as well. The throwback with myself, Brad Ziegler, and Jake Seeley. So lots to check out at The Athletic, plus all the amazing articles. Just you have your subscription. It's not just going to be the fantasy side of the podcast. You're going to get absolutely everything. So thanks for taking the time to join us today. Let's get into it, Beller. And no Thursday night football games anymore. We start with Saturday. We got three Saturday games. How do you feel about that?
That's totally fine with me. I love the Saturday games. Obviously, we're not going to get it during college football part of the year, but I love having these Saturday games.
Yeah, the Saturday games are great. So let's start with Houston and Tampa Bay. We have the Texans and the Buccaneers. It opened up as a pick 'em, and right now Houston 3-point favorites. The over-under at 49.5, 26. The team implied total for Houston, 23 for the Bucs. Chris Godwin did not practice today. Doesn't look like he's going to play. We already know Mike Evans is not around. Jameis Winston was throwing tennis balls again this morning. He threw tennis balls last week, so I mean, I don't think you need to take too much stock of that. He still had a pretty good fantasy day for you. This to me, is this it's on the road in Tampa. I think you need to check the weather. I wouldn't take too much stock into it, but last time I saw, Beller, it was supposed to just rain all day in Tampa. That could mean some sloppy football. We know that Jameis has turned the ball over numerous times so far this season. I am going to lean with Houston, but does the line seem fishy at all to you?
I don't know if it seems fishy, only because the Bucs are down, you know, their two best players on offense with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, going to be missing this game. If those guys were healthy, or if even one of them was healthy, I would be a little bit wary of a -3 line in Tampa, because Tampa's played pretty well of late. So I don't know if it's fishy, but it's a game I'm pretty easily staying away from. Houston's pulled the rug out on us one too many times to trust them on the road against a quality opponent. You know, Tampa has opened some eyes late in the season, and I think we could be talking about them as an intriguing 2020 playoff team. Jameis Winston has probably played his way into keeping his job there in Tampa and signing a new contract down with the Buccaneers. But, you know, it's just not a game I love either side on, because, yeah, I would love Tampa if they had Evans or Godwin. But playing without both of them, yeah, how much can they still make happen on offense without those two guys? We know they're not going to be running the ball very effectively. It's going to have to be the Rashad Perriman, Justin Watson, O.J. Howard, Cameron Brait show. And that's not necessarily a show that I want to tune into believing it's going to entertain me a whole lot. So it's an easy stay away for me. There are plenty of games. I actually like this slate quite a bit. So this is not one that I feel any real need to get in on.
Okay, yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think that Jameis has played himself into a role. And Bruce Arians talked him up a couple weeks ago. He said, you know, a lot of people want to point out the interceptions and the fumbles, but the offensive line hasn't been great. There's been some misassignments in terms of just pass blocking with Ronald Jones. We've seen him get benched a couple times over the past few weeks as well, and they've won four straight, and they're a 500 football team right now. So there's been some positive with Tampa Bay. I probably have these out of my seven as well this game, but I do lean Houston, and I mean, just a couple weeks ago, I know you're right, we've been fooled, but just a couple weeks ago, this is a team that I know New England hasn't looked good, but they beat the Pats, and they're still, this is a must-win situation for them. So in my pool where they need to win by three, I'm going to pick them to win the football game by a field goal. And yeah, to your point, I mean, we like Rashad Perriman in fantasy. He's a nice little sneaky play. Maybe you're going to roll him out. He was wide receiver one last week, but, and Houston has given up some big plays on defense, but I wouldn't. It's still going to be, I think, a tough game for Jameis with Perriman as his number one option in the passing game. Here we go, New England now, the Patriots.
Yeah, here we go.
6.5-point favorites against the Buffalo Bills. This one's actually easy for me. I'm picking Buffalo.
And yeah, me too.
With confidence.
Yeah. Are you putting them in your seven?
I'm putting them in my seven. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I considered that. I don't have them there quite yet. When we check back in on Friday, they could be there. To me, this is Bills or nothing, though. I mean, I just don't see how the Patriots win this game, or how you really back them confidently to win this game by a touchdown. This feels like a game that should be played within a touchdown for sure, with the way that these two teams have been playing lately. Now you've got Julian Edelman. I know he's been on the injury report pretty much every week this season, but it sounds like things are a little bit more serious for him now than they have been at any other point of the year. This is just really an ugly situation for the Patriots. Obviously, they win this game and they lock up the AFC East. And if they lose this game, then we're talking about the AFC East going down to week 17. But I believe the Patriots would still have the tiebreaker. So
yes,
you got to feel pretty good if you're the Patriots. Like, the Patriots are in a decent position to get that number two seed, right? They're not going to catch the Ravens. So they don't have any, you know, pie in the sky dreams of getting home field advantage on the AFC side of the playoffs, but they should feel pretty good about the two seed. We'll see what ends up happening, you know, with the Chiefs over the next couple of weeks. But, I don't know. This is just one where it has to be Bills or nothing, because I don't see how you think either of these teams is going to beat the other one by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, and that last game that the first time they played earlier this season, it was earlier in the year.
That was week four.
Yeah, and it was in Buffalo. Tough environment to play for sure. Tom Brady's had some issues there, but he didn't look good in that game. I mean, he was 18 for 39, 46 completion rate, 150 yards, 3.8 yards per attempt. They got after him. I mean, he threw a pick. He didn't have a touchdown there. They almost won the football game if they can move the ball offensively. And that's the one thing with Buffalo, is how their defense is legit. We've been saying it all year. But can they score enough points to win football games? Because we know New England's defense is really good too. But I think that this game will be pretty tight, and you're spot on with Julian Edelman, and his worst game of the season came against the Bills as well. So I just think this is too many points. I think Buffalo will be able to keep it close, and I don't know if they'll win the game, but I wouldn't be surprised, Beller, if they won the football game in New England.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. That's probably a pick I'll make too, just because of the differentiation it'll bring to your pools. Definitely like the Bills with the points, might put them in the seven. And another thing to remember about that first game, no Devin Singletary for Buffalo. He was injured. That was when he was sitting. He missed like four games in a row early in the season, and this was one of them. And so not only do we get Devin Singletary healthy and playing in this game, but we get a much different Devin Singletary than we saw early on in the year as well. So that's a big weapon that Buffalo will have active that they did not have in the first game.
And tied for a career high last week with 21 carries on the ground. So, yeah, that's a good point by you. The final game on Saturday, the 49ers and the LA Rams. You mentioned the Rams' playoff hopes probably dead. The 49ers probably kicking themselves. I know, actually, they're kicking themselves. It probably means a game to start the playoffs on the road. And then later on down the road, probably a game in Seattle or Lambeau compared to, you know, potential bye and playing in your own stadium. So that was a tough loss they had against the Atlanta Falcons last week. Right now favored by 6.5 points against the Rams, the over under at 45.5. The last time they played the Rams, Beller, they had their way. They actually dominated that football game. You look at the box score and you see the final score, and it really wasn't that close if you watch the game. The Rams could do nothing on offense. Are you confident that they'll be able to bounce back and win by a touchdown?
Yeah, this is 49ers or nothing for me. Right now, not in my top seven plays of the week, but this has all the makings of a bounce-back spot for the 49ers. Again, another situation where we're just talking about the better team, plain and simple. This is the better team playing at home in a game that they really do need to win. I mean, you say that they're looking likely to be on the road in their first playoff game, but week 17, right? I mean, they play Seattle. That's the game right there. So, you know, they got to win this game to make that week 17 game matter. And so they know what's at stake in this one. I think they do win, and I think that they can control this Rams team that just hasn't been consistent enough, right? I mean, this is not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination, but after the egg that they laid in Dallas, right, it's just another check in what we've seen with them all season long, where they just haven't been able to play consistent football against, you know, quality teams. And neither of us thinks Dallas is great, but, you know, Dallas certainly isn't a bad team. They're closer to good than they are to bad. And we've seen the Rams just too often falter when they step up in weight class. This is obviously another, you know, step and a half or two steps up from what they saw last week on the road. I think that San Francisco is the only play you could have in this game. I think we see a big bounce back from both the passing and run games for the 49ers. In this one, I expect a heavy dose of Raheem Mostert, and I just think that the Rams offense is going to have a lot of trouble moving the ball with any consistency on San Francisco. So every single thing lines up for me to like the 49ers. Could eventually play the way into my seven. I'm just not going to put them there quite yet.
Yeah, that game earlier in the year was week 6, 20-7 final, and Jared Goff was 13 for 24 with 78 yards. So, yeah, he did not look good, to say the least, in that football game. Let's go to Sunday, early action. We got the Falcons and the Jaguars. So here's just an example of a couple teams, not a lot to play for, but I guess there's been more positive signs with Atlanta. I mean, they just beat San Fran. They've, you know, out of the bye, actually, you know, since they made that coaching change. Well, not the coaching change, just in terms of Dan Quinn not calling the defensive plays anymore as a defensive guy. They've just looked a little bit better, you know, defensively and offensively, you know, that they have the weapons in Julio Jones who can light you up, and we saw that last week for sure. 7 points too much. Like, this is an example of a game that I just don't want anything to do with. But if I had to choose it, at least Atlanta has shown me a little bit more recently. Jacksonville beat Oakland last week, and Oakland hasn't shown us anything, but the Jags have just been a mess defensively and really offensively for a few weeks now, man.
Yeah, this is a game I want no part of. Just two teams that I don't feel comfortable predicting what they're exactly going to have on the field on Sunday, and two teams that just haven't been really anything to get excited about for the majority of the season. Seven feels like a lot of points. I mean, this Atlanta team, they've looked better since coming out of their bye, as you said, but this is still not a great team. Still, this is a team that comes into this game at 5-9, that the whole has not been equal to the sum of the parts. I mean, you feel like the offense should have been better all season than it was. Now you've got no Calvin Ridley out there. That's an explosive element that is removed from the offense. DJ Chark sounds like he's going to be able to get back for the Jaguars. There's a lot of variables, a lot of moving parts in this game. And again, no team in this one, neither side in this game really makes you feel all that great about taking them. I lean toward just taking the points and taking the seven and trusting the Jaguars to find a way to stay within a touchdown. But it's a real, you know, tepid feeling that I have when I think about that. So this is one I feel very easy to stay away from.
Are these two of the most disappointing teams in the league this year? I mean, there were some high expectations, I think, for
not
both.
Jacksonville.
Really?
I wouldn't put Jacksonville in that discussion.
Going to get Foles? Like, they were – I mean, the division was – I don't think there was a clear favorite. I think Houston probably, if anyone – if you asked 100 people, I'd say maybe 90 actually say Houston. But anyone could have – there could have been numerous answers for number two. I mean, Jacksonville, I thought that they'd be much better than this. I guess Nick Foles hasn't played a whole lot, but I just thought maybe defensively, early on in the year too, like defensively they just weren't good.
Yeah, I'm not putting Jacksonville. I mean, to me, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Chicago.
But this guy's got some excuses. I mean, the Eagles have some excuses.
Nick Foles got hurt in the first quarter of the season, the literal first quarter of the Jaguars season. Nick Foles got hurt.
Right.
And Minshew played fine, but you know, talk about a team that season took a wayward turn immediately. You know, Jacksonville's right there. I think all those teams are more. And maybe this is just, you know, speaking for myself, but I didn't come into this season thinking that they were going to be this, you know, grand playoff contender either.
Yeah,
Atlanta could be in the discussion.
I think Atlanta definitely deserves to be in the discussion as one of the most disappointing teams. Maybe not so much Jacksonville, but I thought they'd be a little bit – I thought they'd at least compete for the division. They've just been they've been so bad over, you know, ever since – I think 2 weeks before Jalen Ramsey was calling out the team, and you're starting to hear some reports now and Ramsey tweeting, "I told you so." Anyways, two disappointing teams, maybe a stay away. The Saints and Titans, a lot to play for here for both teams. Saints, you know, they clinched weeks ago, but they still want to have home field throughout the playoffs. And they opened up a one-point favorite, actually, on the road in Tennessee. They're now three-point favorites. The Titans, a big loss last week. They got back into the game late, but they got too far behind early on, and they couldn't catch up against the Texans. But still a lot on the line for them. The Steelers holding down that final wild card spot, the tiebreaker there as well, but Houston and Tennessee going to play next week. Is this another overthink it? I feel like we just put this next to the Saints every single time, but still a lot to play for New Orleans.
Meanie, when was the last time I didn't take the Saints?
Yeah, I mean, they've been so good to us all year. I didn't worry about. And did you notice the spread came down a little bit? It was 9.5, and you know, I think on Saturday I saw 8 in some spots. I'm like, oh, really? Okay.
Really against the Colts last week?
Yeah.
Oh man, no! I was nursing a pretty mean case of tonsillitis over the weekend, so I sort of missed out on some of that. Thank you to our colleague Eric Young for stepping in for me on Friday's edition of this show. Back to full strength. I'm playing through, no pain whatsoever here on this Wednesday. But so I missed that. But I mean, that's ridiculous. And
yeah,
again, like I'm sticking with the Saints. I mean, come on, this team is I'll say it again. I still believe that this is the team that is going to win the Super Bowl this year. Tennessee has been what a remarkable performance by this team over the second half of the season. Ryan Tannehill has been excellent to get themselves into playoff contention. But this is still a team that has some flaws, I think, that are going to keep it from staying with teams like New Orleans on a consistent basis. We saw that on display last week against Houston, and I think it comes to play again here against New Orleans. And this New Orleans team, again, very motivated, a lot to play for.
Yes.
With Green Bay playing Minnesota in Minnesota on Monday Night Football this week. You know, New Orleans can, I mean, the one seed is still in play for New Orleans, but certainly at least getting themselves a bye and at least getting to play at the Superdome in the divisional round of the playoffs is in play for the Saints. They need this game, I think, to get that. So I really like the Saints team to go into Tennessee and take care of business. Michael Thomas, just such a force week in, week out. And with what this team can bring defensively with every passing week, you get Marshawn Lattimore, a week healthier, a week stronger. With what they can bring defensively, I think they have what it takes to slow down Ryan Tannehill. And I don't think that the Titans are going to be able to win this game on Derrick Henry alone. You know, some of those games that they won, we had Ryan Tannehill throwing 18, 19, 22 passes. I think he's going to have to throw the ball more than that if they're going to play with the Saints offense. And I don't think that's a recipe for success for Tennessee, even at home. So give me the Saints to win this one. And if they're going to win, I feel pretty good about them winning by more than a field goal.
Yeah, for sure. And Derrick Henry he's been a beast, but he's clearly not 100% either.
Right.
They've held him good out through some practices. I had the Saints to win the Super Bowl too. That was my prediction. And if they do win, do you think Breeze goes out on top? Nobody talks about Breeze being a 40-year-old quarterback. They just talk about Brady being 40 and how much longer is he going to play. But, I mean, comparing the two, I know there's slightly a different age. They're at least both 40. It's just still a high number for a quarterback. But watching Breeze Monday night, this guy could play another 3 or 4 years. If they win the Super Bowl this year, do you think he goes out on top?
I will say yes.
Yes?
Total speculation, of course.
Of course. It is. But you would admit that
I haven't talked to Drew anytime recently.
No? Okay, well, maybe we'll be able to get him when the bye week on the show. Maybe we'll give us some picks for him. But you agree that he could go another year or two?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah,
definitely.
It's not even close.
I mean, the dude looks awesome again this year. Yeah, it's crazy what he's still able to do, the level that he's still able to play at, and I think he's got a couple more good years in him. You know, we saw a great 40-year-old season out of Tom Brady too, and now we're clearly seeing the slide happen from Tom Brady. But you know, Breeze has got a few more years to go till he gets to that point. So yes, could Breeze keep going beyond this year if he wants to? Absolutely. It would be very tempting, I think, though, if they end up winning the Super Bowl to ride off into the sunset as his last game.
Yeah, for sure. And he gets that second Super Bowl would be fun. He's already a Hall of Fame quarterback anyways, obviously, but to get that second one is I think icing on top of the cake for sure. And plus he has a guy like Michael Thomas. I mean, that's, you know, you're comparing Brady and what weapons, you know. It's nice to have a guy like Michael Thomas, as you said. He just catches absolutely everything that gets thrown his way. All right, another game I'm staying away from. We don't spend too much time here on Washington and the New York Giants, but some reports this morning that it looks like Daniel Jones is going to be back under center. So Eli got his farewell. They all saluted him. It was a nice moment for Eli, and now it's back to Daniel Jones. And we have Washington 2.5-point favorites here. Yeah, I mean, picking Washington because they're at home? Is it that simple? Or did Saquon Barkley show enough for you last week that maybe he can just win the game himself?
Pass. Look, it's
fair.
No, thank you.
No, I get it.
No, thank you. Right? There is no law out there that says we have to bet on every single NFL game that appears on the slate. And, I mean, please. There is, I mean, Pat Shurmur and Bill Callahan don't know what's going to happen in this game. This is just not a game that I want any part of whatsoever. I'm not going to pretend to have a great read on it one way or the other. Definitely staying away. Forget about this game unless, you know, you've got Saquon or Terry McLaurin in your fantasy championship.
Sure, yeah. And you play them, obviously. But, yeah, easy stay away. 42 is the total. Don't even feel great about that number with confidence picking it over. You just don't know what to expect with these two teams. The Steelers and the Jets, Pittsburgh 3-point favorites on the road to take on New York. Pittsburgh, because they're still fighting for something? Better defense overall? Are you buying into the revenge Lev Bell? Like, well, do you have a stronger take here on this team, on this game?
I love the revenge Le'Veon Bell.
He's going to be balling out. He wants to at least.
Sure. He's like the revenge narrative. It's like something fun to joke about. Obviously, there's nothing that backs it. You know, nothing you can quantify that says it actually exists. It's fun to joke about, of course, but Le'Veon Bell just feels like one of those guys who actually will be more amped up for the revenge factor in this one. Let me just say, we forgot one thing about Washington and the Giants. It's the Chase Young Bowl, right?
That's right. But then there's reports that he may not even declare for the draft.
Okay. Yeah.
Right.
I got you, Meanie. There's reports that I'm, not going to drink any eggnog on Christmas also.
You have to drink eggnog on Christmas. Let's just tell you that right now. Even if you don't like eggnog, you can have one glass of eggnog and spiced rum or something. Like, let's be honest. Yeah. You have to.
Exactly. So, Chase Young.
No, you're probably right. You're probably right. But I wonder if it has anything to do with maybe potentially being a member of Washington and New York. But I mean, if he sits out, there's a good chance he'll be a member of Washington and New York the following year as well.
He's going to be on a bad team no matter when he decides
to
come out.
That's just the way it is.
Yeah. Right. So the Steelers and Jets, I don't know, man. So I've told you a little bit about that pool that I run, where you got 32 teams, right? 32 people. Everyone gets a team, and they have to pick that team's game against the spread every single week. And I've got the Steelers, and they have just been such a pain in my ass to pick every single week. It's like the worst sort of team to have, where they've got a great defense that keeps them in every game, that keeps them competitive, that can carry them to wins against, you know, bad through solid teams. But just no offense, and an offense that can let them down no matter who they're playing against, right? I mean, they just, you know, they squeaked Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago,
right?
And then they bounce back from that with a pretty good win, and then they, you know, can't do anything last week against Buffalo. So it's just such a hard team to predict week in and week out, and that's the main reason why I'm staying away from this game, just because I have learned my lesson week after week with this Pittsburgh Steelers team, that they are just they're mercurial. You know, they're just a very hard team to know what's going to – all you know about the Steelers is that the defense is going to show up and the game's going to hit the under. And that's really all that you can say with confidence against them. Because of that, I will take the points on the Jets. They're playing at home. But this is not a game that I have really confidence in on either side.
Bell seems like the type of guy who looked at the schedule and was like, oh, week 16 against Pittsburgh. Yeah, I feel like the Jets will probably have a chance to make the wild card. Yeah, I'm signing with the Jets. You know what I mean? Like, right. Pittsburgh's on the schedule. Let's go.
He found Pittsburgh's schedule first. Yeah,
yes.
I like that. I like that thought. And then figured out who to sign with. You know, we could both be like 8-6 at that point. Could be sort of a play-in game.
Yeah.
Really stick it to the Steelers.
Yeah, it seems like that kind of guy. But yeah, you make great points with Pittsburgh. That's been my problem with them all year, is I've had a hard time backing them because of the offense, and the defense is obviously off the charts. They're phenomenal. But when you rank 30th overall in offense and 31st against the passing, it's just, and the run game too. I mean, they're a bottom seven team in terms of just rushing yards per game as well. I mean, they don't even get 100. I know James Conner hasn't played a lot so far this season, and maybe he'll get a little bit more work this week. But yeah, this is, I'm probably going to pick Pittsburgh, but I'm not going to have him in my seven. I'm just going to pick the better team fighting for something with a better defense.
I get that. Yeah. I get that completely. But yeah, it's just such a pain of a team to try to handicap every single week.
Yeah, no doubt. And then there's this one, another one that we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on, Miami and Cincinnati. The Dolphins are favored, and I slipped up because I meant to come on here and check to see the last time the Dolphins were favored, but I know for sure that they haven't been favored all year. And I don't think they were favored at all once last season either. They open up 2.5-point favorites against the Bengals. They're now 1-point favorites. The over-under has jumped from 45.5 to 47. In some spots, it's a pick 'em, which, you know, probably should be. Go ahead, pick 'em.
You know what? You're going to think I'm crazy, but this is another game I'm holding out as potentially being part of my seven and backing the Dolphins.
Okay. If I had a way to go, I'd go Miami too.
This offense has a pulse, right?
Yep,
yeah, I mean, you
yep.
can't say it doesn't. With the way Fitz has played, with the way Devontae Parker has broken out this season, you know, they can do some things offensively, especially against bad teams. I mean, we've seen it, you know, week in, week out. When they go up against a bad defense, they can show up. And, you know, the Giants were able to run away from them last week. But that was, you know, sort of a confluence of a bunch of circumstances that resulted in that game turning into a blowout. Didn't really play that way. I've watched a lot of Dolphins this season, believe it or not, because on both of my championship-bound fantasy teams. Yeah, I know. Pat me, everyone, all you listeners out there, give me a virtual pat on the back. What a cool guy I am. both Superflex leagues, and both of them have Ryan Fitzpatrick on them. So I've watched a lot of Dolphins this season. And, I mean, they show up against these defenses because there is some legitimate talent. And, you know, Fitz is not afraid of anything on a football field. So, I mean, they can do it. And I think that they can do it against the Cincinnati team. So I actually kind of like them by just being favored by just 1 point. All they got to do
the
is
game.
Win.
Yeah, just
yeah,
win the game.
I mean, I kind of – I'm not putting them in there just yet, but I kind of like them.
Yeah, I kind of feel you. I kind of feel you. Fitzpatrick, don't have any shares. Have some Devontae Parker. Maybe want to give me a little pat on the back, too. But, hey, Parker should probably be giving Fitzpatrick a pat on the back because this guy got him paid, man.
Yeah, maybe
you got the new contract.
Nice watch or something.
Yes, something. is this overthinking it too much, the fact that the Bengals really want to lose this football game? Like,
but
I know they have
safe,
one
right?
win. They
they've got a game in hand, don't they?
They
can
do.
Win this game and still have the first overall pick.
But they definitely don't want to win next week. They got Cleveland. Who knows? I mean, they could beat Cleveland. They don't want to win. Yeah. Again, that may be just overthinking it slightly. Mm-hmm. You could see maybe they're up all of a sudden in the fourth quarter. It's like, Joe Mixon, take a seat. you've run real well here over the past month, weeks, but maybe take a seat. That's, I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking it a little bit, but I'm with you on Miami. These two teams a little bit better, Colts and Panthers, although the Colts haven't looked all that good lately. But, Beller, they're 7-point favorites here. Too much?
Do you know by any chance how many games that the Colts have played? Not won or lost, just how many games they've played that have been decided by more than one score this season?
Off the top of my head, probably just last week.
last week was the third, actually, of the season. And all of those have happened in the last 5 weeks. Two of those they've lost. Last week to the Saints, and then 2 weeks before that, to the Titans. All that adds up to say that the Colts have covered a 7-point spread one time this season. It was at home against the lowly Jaguars when the Jaguars pretty much hit their nadir of the season. Now they're supposed to beat the Panthers by a touchdown because Will Greer is taking over as the quarterback.
Who may be better than Kyle Allen.
Certainly, like, we shouldn't expect him to be worse than Kyle Allen, should
right.
we? No. Why is this a touchdown spread? With T.Y. Hilton clearly not at 100%, with Marlon Mack clearly not at 100%, why is this a touchdown? The Panthers were an easy pick for me. I mean, go over every single game that the Colts have played this season. I mean, they're all decided by 7 points or fewer, almost every single one, except for two times that they got blown out and one time that they beat a really bad Jaguars team who played a terrible game that week as well, in Nick Foles' first game back from the collarbone injury too. So suddenly we're supposed to believe that the Colts are going to win this by no way.
Yeah,
no way. Give me the Panthers a ton of confidence. I'm locking that one in right now.
I may even just pick them on the money line because I think that they can win this football game. And you're just talking about recently with just the blowouts. It's just this team that has – the injuries have just caught up to them. It's mm-hmm. just – it's mm-hmm. been too
exactly.
much. Yeah, we were giving them credit like, oh, great, Frank Reich. They're finding a way to win football games and staying in this. But they've lost four straight. They've lost 6 of 7. They just – those two blowouts that you mentioned have just come recently. And I'm not sold that T.Y. Hilton is going to be, you know, playing 100% of the snaps in a full go. And Marlon Mack has a great matchup, but he hasn't looked good over the past couple weeks either. I'm with you. I actually think Carolina – if I had to pick one upset, this one would be it. I think Carolina would be it. Baltimore and Cleveland. Obviously, I'm not going to go down that road with Cleveland here.
you have to.
No, I don't. When I start hearing things of all the players saying, come get me, I don't know how true that is. But, I mean, if it's Jarvis Landry who last year at the start of the season had that big speech on Hard Knocks. He fired everybody up. He was getting everyone going. And now he's telling Arizona to come get me? Like, ugh, man. I said this before, and I stole it from somebody on another show. It slipped my mind. The most immature team in the league led by the most immature coach in the league, and it's clearly showing right now in Cleveland. So it's a lot of points, but I think Baltimore does go into Cleveland and they win by 10 points. I don't know if I'm going to have them in, but you can't side with Cleveland. You can't actually put money on the Browns at this point.
This is a no. I totally agree with you. And Baltimore is another one of those teams. I have six of my seven locked in. Not locked in, but I've got six out of seven written down. Some of them I might end up changing. Obviously, I've mentioned a few teams that maybe are going to be that seventh. Baltimore's in that conversation as well. When we do this on Wednesdays, any sort of big spread, if it doesn't grab me right away, I'm just going to breeze right past it. This has all the feelings of a business trip for Baltimore, right? They go into Cleveland, yeah, a team they are far superior to, a team that actually beat them in Baltimore earlier this season. So there's a little bit of a revenge factor. You've got, as you said, I think appropriately, the most immature team in the league on one side of the ball. Meanwhile, you have one of the most smart, disciplined, well-coached teams on the other side, having a ton of fun, a team that is clearly banded around Lamar Jackson and the chance that they took and the way that they built this team. And all at stake this week is the opportunity to lock up the number one overall seed in the AFC and maybe take a little bit of a rest in week 17. I think that they're going to do that. This is a team that's just going to go in, steely-eyed, take care of business, get it done, beat the Browns by 17 points, get out of Cleveland and celebrate Christmas with the number one overall seed in the AFC locked up.
Exactly. Number one overall seed with the win. They've won 10 straight games, as you mentioned, is a great point. You take care of business this week, and then you can rest some guys week 17. Absolutely with you there for sure. The Sunday late games, you got Broncos and Lions. Denver favored by 7 points. It was a rough game for Drew Lock last week in Kansas City. It was a snowball game. There was lots of snow. It was a struggle for him, and I had given him some props the couple weeks prior that he had looked pretty good. 7 points does seem like a lot for me to back Denver, but they have shown us a little bit more than Detroit recently. Like, Denver's still a tough place to play. They still have a pretty decent defense. Detroit lost a couple weeks ago in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kenny Golladay could probably just get shut out here by Chris Harris Jr., and there's been no run game at all in Detroit. So, I don't know, Beller, 7 does seem like a lot, but I will lean with the Broncos to win by a touchdown at home.
Yeah, I lean the Broncos too, but definitely not a team that I like giving up a touchdown on. So this is an easy stay away for me. I think that Denver's defense can totally control this game.
Yeah.
I mean, don't you? Right.
Yes.
I mean, we're talking about David Blau and Wes Hills.
Right.
In the backfield for Detroit. I mean, no Marvin Jones. I mean, Kenny Galladay's looking around like, geez, this is not what I remember.
Yeah.
He's Will Smith in the last episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air looking around with his hands in his pockets, wondering where everyone went. I think Denver's defense could totally control this game. I mean, it's been crazy this year, Meany, and this is, I could just be recency bias influenced, but doesn't it feel like this year has had more obvious unders that have come through than any in recent memory?
Yeah, because there's been a lot of, I think because there's been a lot of teams like Pittsburgh and Buffalo, Denver could be one of those teams too. The offense is not great, but the defense is so dominant.
It's the quarterback injuries, maybe, that are driving it.
Yeah, maybe it is. Yeah.
Right? I mean, with Roethlisberger and Cam and, Denver just having a bad quarterback situation to begin with at the start of the season. There's been a few very Buffalo being the way that they're built, New England being the way that they're built. There's just been a few very obvious under teams that have been able to stay that way and be that way all season long. And this has got another look of an obvious one. Like, if we could include over-unders, then under 38.5 on Broncos-Lions would be one of my seven.
Yeah, there's a couple here, like even Jets-Steelers. I know that's a low number, 38.5, and sometimes people shy away from that. I mean, Bills-Patriots, 38. There's a couple here that are right around that 38 mark that I feel better about the under than the over. And your Bears are another team like that too, right? They kind of play.
Yeah.
I know Trubisky's been a little bit better lately. Jay called him Troops, gave him the nickname Troops.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was all fired up about Troops. And just like,
Troops.
Oh, Troops.
Troops.
I liked it.
A troubadour. Mitch Troubadour, Trubisky. Trubisky. Trubisky could sing us a song and throw an interception all at the same time.
We'll get to that game in a little bit. Matt Nagy going up against the former squad. I agree with you. Maybe it is the quarterback play, but I feel like there's been a few teams that are just, they've been so dominant defensively and they haven't shown us a whole lot offensively and they're just squeezing out wins. But yeah, so 38 may seem like a low number, guys, but I'm with you. I would back you on the under there for sure. Chargers and Raiders. This is another one. I really just don't know what to expect. And I see on the dock that you have a feel, at least with Oakland.
Yeah, they're the as I mentioned, I've got six teams that I've at least written down as ones I'm backing. They're the sixth of six, Oakland. Just feels like too many points. This Chargers team has been up and down all season. They've, you know, ridden a roller coaster, and obviously they've gotten plenty of talent on offense, but with the way Phillip Rivers is playing, this is a lot of points for them to be laying against almost anyone. So I think that Oakland has enough firepower offensively to keep this game close, to keep it within a touchdown. I think the Chargers win the game, but I just feel like that's a lot of respect to give to a Chargers team that quite simply hasn't earned it this season. So I do like the Raiders. I could come off it as we've said. There are some games that I do like here that I haven't locked in just yet, but I mean, doesn't it feel like too many points to you? 6.5?
Yeah, it does.
I mean, what
yeah,
have the Chargers done to be giving up a touchdown to anyone?
Yeah, nothing. Yeah, you're right. Nothing. They've been blown out a bunch so far this season. Even in some spots where they've actually been favored, they haven't won the football game. And you know what? Even going back to a few years, like these two teams, rivals, like they play each other pretty tight. And no matter where they are in the standings at the point of the season. And again, maybe overthinking it a little bit in the back of my head, but at some point, I feel like, and maybe it's gone on too long, that Rivers will just play out the rest of the season, but a couple more picks or any he's just looked so bad this year, Beller, that I feel like maybe it's just the way he's gone out. It's been tough to watch. So
yeah,
it's really hard to back them by a touchdown. I agree with you.
He looks like Rex Grossman this year.
Oh, Grossman. He does look gross.
With these interceptions that are just like
downfield. Is he absolutely done?
I think so.
Like he can't bring it back.
I've loved Phillip Rivers, but I mean, yeah, like, I mean, the play this season speaks for itself. And this is not a team that is devoid of talent around him either.
No, that's a thing. Like they have a lot of offensive weapons around him. So it's, the Chargers definitely have been one of the most disappointing teams.
Yeah, you could put them in that group for sure. Way more disappointing than when you tried to pretend the Jaguars were one of the two most.
Man, I thought they were going to fight for the division, man. I thought it was completely up for grabs. Whatever. Leave me alone. Dallas and Philly. I see you're picking the Eagles.
Three points.
Are they even teams?
I think they're pretty even teams. You don't?
No, not at all.
I'll take the 3 points at home. I'll take the 3 points at home on these two for sure.
Okay.
I feel pretty good about that. I feel pretty good about what we've seen. And, you know, they've played three bad teams in a row, right? The Eagles, they've played, can't remember the exact order, but it's been
Miami, Giants, Washington.
And Washington, their last three games. But the offense has come to life. And Miles Sanders, man, we've been talking about it all season. And
it's nice to see.
He looks awesome. I mean, he has been a missing element that this team has desperately needed, and he has looked great. So with these two teams, again, I'm getting 3 points at home. I'll take it.
Yeah, I'm not with you there. Dak has lit up the Eagles now for the last three games, and
he's got that hand thing though.
He does have that hand thing, so that is something to certainly keep an eye on. There's some reports this morning that he expects to play, but he's not practicing, not throwing. Is it it's a hand thing and a shoulder thing, I believe.
Something like Jake Taylor in Major League Two.
Yeah,
right? a neck thing, or an ankle thing, or a shoulder thing. Who used heart attack?
Yeah, I just honestly think that Dallas is the better football team here. I think the Eagles they've squeaked by against two mediocre football teams over the past couple weeks, and Carson Wentz he's actually had to be perfect. 15 for 15 in the fourth quarter and in overtime over the last 2 weeks with the game on the line. Last week, Greg Ward and Boston Scott, both with the team high 7 grabs. Are you kidding me? Like they're going up against a tougher opponent. Amari Cooper in three games against the Eagles has 21 catches, 398 yards. They've had no answer for him. And I know he's not 100%, but you got Gallup on the other side and you got, you know, Woods Randall Cobb in the slot, Ezekiel Elliott. There's just Dallas is a lot healthier right now. Don't even know if Ronald Darby is going to play. Lane Johnson, their best right tackle, is still out. So I'm impressed that they beat Washington and the Giants, but they just squeezed by those two teams. So I'm going to go the other way. And usually we're on the same page here, but I'm locking in Dallas with confidence. I think that they win this football game. I think they win it by like a touchdown. So I think that they have their way with Philadelphia.
Wait. Let me say something really quick.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm very embarrassed. That was Lou Brown who had all those lines in Major League Two, not Jake Taylor.
Okay. Well,
that's why Jake took over as the manager, because Lou had the heart attack.
There you go. That's right. You're back on track now.
There we go.
You feeling better?
I am.
What about the Cardinals against the Seahawks?
It's a lot of points, 9.5. I mean, that's a lot of points. That's the direction I would go. But I'm not comfortable doing that. I just think that Russell Wilson can totally have his way with this Arizona defense, and they played pretty early in the season, so we don't want to put too much stock into that. Patrick Peterson was still on his suspension the first time these two teams played, but Seattle won 27-10. That was in Arizona. They totally controlled Kyler Murray. They were able to do basically whatever they wanted offensively. And that latter part, basically whatever they want to do offensively, wouldn't surprise me if that were the case again this week. So I just have a lot of trouble fading Russell Wilson in a game at home where his team is clearly the better team. So an easy stay away for me. Because I do think Arizona's got enough offense to keep this one close against a Seattle defense that, you know, is really probably no better than league average, maybe even a little bit worse than that. But just a game I don't want to get involved with.
Out of all the teams in the NFC that are just right there, I mean, Seattle 11-3, San Fran 11-3, Saints 11-3, Packers 11-3, is Seattle the one that you like the least out of those four? Or is it the Packers?
It might be the Packers.
Might be the Packers?
It's those two. I would say, but that's more a reflection of me liking, that's more liking New Orleans and San Francisco
a lot more.
rather than disliking Green Bay or Seattle.
Yeah, those other teams like the Saints, yeah, the Saints and the Niners are more complete. You're right.
Complete, exactly.
Yeah, the defense is a little, maybe slightly above average in Seattle. And then of course you have Russell Wilson, who has been hit or miss over the past few weeks, but it's still Russell Wilson at any point, you know, even in a playoff game. I don't know if you would even doubt him, but yeah, with you, it's a lot of points. I probably will back Seattle, just to win the game at home. By 10.
Sure.
It does seem
like
a lot
of points.
It does.
I mean, we're going to be opposite on that. I'm going to back Arizona. Don't think I can play it into my 7. Yeah. It's a lot of points, man.
Yeah, it is a lot of points. Slight sidebar. Who has the most carries in Arizona's backfield next year? Like, is it Drake? Is it DJ? it's intriguing, isn't it?
Is it Kyler?
It's probably Kyler. That's the safest bet, is it not? Kyler? It is the safest bet.
He's definitely the safest bet. That's for sure. Realistically, it's not going to be him. It's going to be Drake. It'll be Drake.
Yeah, it's going to be
David
Drake.
Johnson's not going to be on the team.
I don't think so either. And I got in that argument on the throwback with Jake, but he's like, oh, they just have too much money tied into him. He's going to be, I don't think he's going to be there. And then there's Chase Edmonds, who I think is pretty good as well. So interesting backfield if you're in a dynasty league. That's something that we will dive into on the throwback over the next couple of weeks. I think there's a buy low opportunity for at least one of those guys in that backfield. We got off track here a little bit. So let's get back on track with the Sunday night football game. Chiefs and Bears. KC favored by 5.5 in Chicago. Has Troops showed you enough to keep this game tight?
Credit where credit's due. I have dogged this guy across our entire suite of podcasts all season, and he has certainly looked better over the last 5 weeks. Now, got to caveat that by saying two of those games were against Detroit. One of those games was against a Dallas team that is not really anything special defensively. So it's not like he's gone up against a murderer's row of opponents in that stretch. But all you can do is play the deck that's dealt to you and play the cards that are dealt to you beat the team that is opposite you that day, and Trubisky has certainly looked better. Now, having said all that, how do the Bears stay with the Chiefs? How is this possible? I mean, they're going to have to do it entirely on the defensive side of the ball, and I just don't think that they can do that. I mean, the Bears' defense has been good this season.
It
really has been a good real-life defense. I've been vindicated. I've been proven right in the arguments I got in this summer saying that the Bears' defense could be just as good this year as it was last year and not come anywhere near what it was statistically, because the turnover numbers are just almost impossible to duplicate, and that has been proven true. They have 16 takeaways this season after having like 40 or whatever they had last year. But they've still been a good defense. I just don't think it's a defense that's going to really give Patrick Mahomes all that much trouble. And the worst thing for the Bears is a great thing for me, cause since I live in Chicago, but very bad for the Bears. We're going to have like 40 degree, like mid 40 degrees over the weekend. Which, should not be the case as we get into the third week of December. But it's going to be pretty nice in Chicago for later third week of December, and that is great for the Chiefs. That's something that the Bears could have had working in their favor. Really, any defense could have working in their favor against a high-powered offense like Kansas City, but the Bears aren't going to have that on their side this week. you know, this is the don't overthink it play of the week here. Meaning Kansas City just obviously, clearly, the better team, a team that has still got a lot on the line over the next couple of weeks. They could get their way, into a bye by winning these last two games. So, give me the Chiefs. I'm not going to think about this one too hard. They're going to win this one by at least a touchdown.
Yeah, I'm with you. I already locked them in yesterday. They were 4-point favorites yesterday. They're now 6. I think that number is going to continue just to climb slightly. I could see it up to maybe 6.5. Maybe time we talk here Friday, it could even be a little bit higher than that.
Yeah.
But yeah, 5.5. What's that?
Yeah. Sorry. One more thing is that, the Steve Spagnuolo has really been dialing up a lot of pressure for Kansas City over the last few weeks, and the Bears' offensive line has not been good, and you can really rattle Trubisky by getting to him. He's not a guy who he's got escapability, but he's not a guy who uses that escapability quite as functionally as you would like to see. So I do think that the Chiefs could really make things tough on the Bears' offense if they keep that pressure ramped up this weekend.
Yeah, 21 sacks for KC. That was a stretch. I think where they slightly – it was right around the midpoint, I think you're probably – alluding to over the past few weeks, they've dialed up some pressure.
Yeah.
You know, I think it was week 7 against Denver. They had that big sack game, and then they went on a stretch where they had 21 sacks over 5 games. So their defense has been a lot better. If Montgomery had shown me something and he was a little bit better, I think, you know, you lean on the, that's how you beat KC. That's been the recipe for some teams, at least over the past few weeks and dating back to last year. You run the football, you have some success on the ground, you keep Mahomes off the field, but there just hasn't been there with Chicago. The run game really just hasn't been there, so disappointing. Like Montgomery, will you be in on him next year, Beller?
No, absolutely
no, absolutely not. Right?
Okay. As currently constructed, no. Maybe the Bears change something where he's clearly in a like a total lead dog role in that offense. But how can you feel confident that would happen?
Right? Yeah.
And Tariq Cohen's not going anywhere, and Tariq Cohen's still going to be the better receiver, the more explosive player. So absolutely no. And we conducted an early 20. Did you take him?
I did take him. I think in the fifth round.
Yeah, so you're in on Montgomery.
Yeah, I mean, I will take a shot on him in the fifth round. I think, you know, the price is a little bit.
So I think that I'm with you. I think that's a fair price. I'm just not going to – he's not going to be like a top 45, 50 pick to me.
Yeah, okay. I think it was the fifth round. I think he was my third back. But, again, if you have a subscription at The Athletic, you'll be able to read all about that over the next couple of days. The final game, Monday night, Vikings and Packers, a lot to play for here. We have Minnesota home, favored by 5. Honestly, I was a little bit surprised that you had locked them in. I thought maybe you would stay away from this game and that it was slightly too many points, but obviously you're feeling pretty good about Minnesota and the fact that Dalvin Cook, the injury, whether he's going to play or not, is not a deciding factor for you.
Yeah, surprised myself too. This was a game that as I was putting all of these lines in our sheet, I just, I just assumed, all right, not going to be picking that game. And then I started doing my research and I just think Minnesota's better. I just think they're the better team, even without Dalvin Cook playing at home. I mean, the odds makers knew that this was no Dalvin Cook. And so to open this game at 4.5 like that, I mean, that's a lot of respect for Minnesota. And it also tells you that they felt that they had to put this number up pretty high, to open it at to get, enough money coming in on Green Bay. So that, for me, made me feel even better about Minnesota. Then still a little too early to really read into the money, but we've got a decent amount of money coming in on Minnesota, and we're seeing the line move in that direction. So all this adds up, conspires to make me think that, my eyes are not deceiving me and that Minnesota's just the better team. Now, I really wonder how much there's actually going to be to play for in this game, because if the Rams lose to the 49ers on Saturday, that's it. Minnesota's got their playoff berth locked up. And then Green Bay has the tiebreaker. They've got a game in hand on Minnesota, and they play Detroit in Week 17. So even if Minnesota wins this game, Green Bay almost certainly is going to win the NFC North. So maybe what's really at stake most for Minnesota in this one is getting themselves up to a 5 seed and getting to play the NFC East winner in the first round rather than having to play whoever's left over between NFC West winner, Green Bay, and New Orleans as the 3 seed. I think that's really where, if you're a Minnesota fan, like that's what you're thinking about the most in this game, because realistically, you can't think Green Bay is going to lose to Detroit in Week 17 with the division on the line. So that's what's most at stake to me in this one. But, thinking about it as from a betting standpoint, Minnesota's just better, man. And like maybe they push Madison in this one with his ankle, maybe they don't, but I think Mike Boone can be. I mean, Mike Boone is not Dalvin Cook, Mike Boone is not Alexander Madison, but Mike Boone, I think he showed us last week, he's not a scrub either, and this team is structurally sound, right? This is not a team that, you know, like Detroit, right? They go from Kerryon Johnson to Bo Scarborough. And right. there's a noticeable downgrade because Scarborough's not the player that Kerryon Johnson is, and there's no infrastructure to lift him up. Mike Boone's not the player that Dalvin Cook is, but Minnesota has an infrastructure that can lift him up and have him play at, you know, maybe 75 or 80% of what you would expect out of Dalvin Cook. The explosion's not going to be there. The home run ability's not going to be there. But the, like, consistent 4.5 yards per carry, I think that could be there from Mike Boone, especially against the Green Bay team that has struggled against the run this season. So put it all together. Minnesota's the better team. They're playing at home. They play awesome yeah, I always forget, it's like, you know, with the Mercedes-Benz or whatever. I keep wanting to call it the Metrodome, even though it's not the Metrodome. The Death Star, I guess, right, is what it's called colloquially. Well, I've got the Rise of Skywalker coming out this week. Put those two things together, I think more success in the Death Star for Minnesota than the Dark Side had.
I love the cold clap. I love the clap. Everyone just gets fired up. Just starts clapping.
Yeah.
You feel me? No?
I do.
I was actually doing the clap. I don't know if you were doing it from home, but I was doing it.
I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, it was slightly, so it was half-assed. Yeah. You know, I think the deciding factor is, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has had, when you look at the touchdowns, the 24 touchdowns and 2 picks, it's phenomenal. I mean, last year's same, 25 and 2, that's great. Like, yards per attempt, yards per game, like 247 yards per game. I mean, that's nowhere near the old Aaron Rodgers. And he's actually struggled in Minnesota. I mean, you go back, I have the last few games here. Last year, 17 for 28, 198 and a touchdown. 2 years ago, he got knocked out of that game early. He suffered the shoulder injury. So we won't count that one. But the year before that, 20 for 36, 213 and one touchdown. The year before that, 16 for 34, 212. The year before that, so I'm really going back here like 5 years, 19 for 29, 209. Like Minnesota has, I don't know, a lot has changed since 5 years ago, but this isn't an environment where he just goes in and he slings it and has a lot of success. So it's a tough place to play for one. It's been a tough place for Aaron Rodgers to play, and I just don't like his weapons. I mean, apart from Devontae Adams, there's just really nothing to get all that excited about, and that's the reason why Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams are having career years in terms of just catching balls out of the backfield, but they're also a tough team to run on Minnesota, too. So I am with you. I feel like that number is just slightly high. I do feel like it will be a field goal game. Maybe I'm just overthinking the fact that there's just so much on the line, but you laid it out perfectly in just terms of just what could potentially happen and what this game could mean, what happens the rest of the week on Sunday. So I'm not going to lock them in, but with you, I'm not as confident, but I do think that they're the better football team on both sides. I think they're the better football team. And Adam Thielen, like, he didn't do a whole lot last week, but he at least looked healthy that's a big part of that weapon on that offense for sure. So I'll let you go and, recap the 7. So go ahead.
All right, here we go. I feel totally 100% no doubt about it, about 3 that I'm keeping: New Orleans, Kansas City, Carolina. Those 3 are going to be in for sure. I'm at about 90% for sure on Minnesota. They're going to be in. I will say about 90% as we've talked through every single game. I've gotten myself there on Baltimore. Business trip. Go to Cleveland. Take care of business. Rest week 17. Okay. The last 2, and those are the 2, I'm going to put them in there for now, but I've got some other teams potentially going to make their way in, are going to be Philadelphia and Oakland. So New Orleans, Kansas City, Carolina, Minnesota, Baltimore, Philadelphia, Oakland. That's my 7.
Okay. All right, giddy up. I got the Saints as well. I also have Carolina. I agree with you 100%. Baltimore is already on it, but, man, you fired me up with the business trip. I like it. So Baltimore is in there as well. So here's the 7, and I'm probably going to keep them all in, to be honest. The last one I may change. So Buffalo, the Saints, Carolina, Baltimore, Dallas, KC, and then Houston. I am locking in Houston right now to win by a field goal. A lot on the line for them. I know Tampa's been a lot better, but, you know, as we talked about, Evans and Godwin not playing in there. I think maybe the offense may take a slight step back this week, as good as Jameis has been over the past few weeks, winners of 4 in a row. So I will take the Texans. Do you want to guess on the top NFL public bet? I know it's only early.
Top NFL public bet, San Francisco.
They're number 4. KC, 92%. Baltimore, 2 at 88%. Houston, 382.
Oh, sure.
San Fran, 4. Dallas, 5. Broncos, 6. Saints, 7. Steelers, 8. Chargers, 9. Wow.
Oh, God.
And then 10 Panthers. Yeah, it's only early. Just something I always like to bring up in the show. We'll talk about it again on Friday. So anything else on the way out?
Let's ride, man. This is our last week doing best on the board for the regular season. This is our last week with 16 games at our disposal. I'm very excited for the playoffs. I love NFL playoff gambling. I love it. I love that we get, you know, a couple games Saturday, a couple games Sunday, games we can really sink our teeth into and focus on just, you know, those 4 games for a weekend. But, you know, this is fun. We love NFL for a reason, and we love having these jam-packed weekends. And this is the last one we're going to get like this with us taking week 17 off. So let's just have a lot of fun. I can't wait to talk to you again on Friday.
Oh, man, what a nice co-host. Yeah, you said it, you said it perfectly. And I noticed you didn't have Miami in there. Maybe we'll get a little bit nuts on Friday.
They're in the brain. They're not on the sheet, but they're in the
they're
brain.
In the brain.
Sure.
They're in the brain for sure. Well said, my friend. All right. Give Michael a follow on Twitter at mbeller, myself at Chris. Any questions you guys have, please don't hesitate. You can ask us anytime, any questions, and we will be back on Friday. TheAthletic.com/bestontheboard will give you elite status for that episode on Friday where we will lock in all of our picks and we'll go through some latest injury news and notes. So, I can't say enjoy the football on Thursday. Just enjoy the week off, the prep that is week 16 of the NFL season. We'll talk on Friday. Cheers.